Blog Talk Radio.
Cover off to 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream, but she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, there's gonna be a party out of town about half a mile. Four wheel drive and big mud tires. Must get down and wine. Oh, baby, you can find me in the back of a jacked up tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some dinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started, it's my kind of party. Baby, just do your thing. Give up your keys. Hell, why drive when you can stay with me? And then after a while, we sneak away from the bonfire. Walk by the moonlight and down to the riverside. Got you sipping on some moonshine. Baby, if you're in the mood and you can settle for one night of rodeo, you could be my tail leg Juliet. I'll be your redneck Romeo. Find me in the back of a jacked up tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started.
Show today is a good friend of mine. We had her on the show
a couple months ago, and she's agreed to return to talk about her behind the scenes work in the entertainment industry. So please help me welcome my friend Christy from Elysian Radio. Mm-hmm. Hey, Christy, how are you?
Hey, Cody, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for coming back on today.
You're welcome. Happy to do it.
As I was telling you off air before the show, it doesn't seem like a week ago you were on.
I know. It's like, it just feels like it just happened.
Yeah, I know. You know, I wanted to talk about and bring you on today and talk about your work in the entertainment industry. You've got quite a little a resume here.
Yeah. So you want me to talk about what I did pretty much in the entertainment industry?
Yeah. And,
okay.
And what initially got you into the entertainment industry?
Okay. Well, I guess I've always been kind of fascinated with where things film. I went through a pretty rough period in junior high, and I really got into television, and that really kept me going. And so I got really curious about where these places film. So in high school, whenever I go on vacation with my parents, I'd be like, Dad, like, I found out where this films. Like, we got to see where this films and this films and this films. So I got really interested in the filming process and where things are filmed and how much of it's really filmed on location versus on a movie set and things like that. So that's what really kind of inspired me. And then in college, I'm like, I majored in creative writing and film studies, which pretty much go hand in hand because I love to write and then I really love the film industry. And I could only major in it and not minor in it at the school I went to in North Carolina. So that's what I did. And I really got into it. And so I actually, my first actual film job, I guess, per se, even though I didn't really get paid for it, was an internship with One Tree Hill. And so I worked on that like for about 3 months when they filmed the first half of season 6. So I did that, and it was a wonderful experience. I learned a lot. I messed up my first day, and that was really, like, you really, like, when you're on location, like, there's certain places, like, you cannot be when they're filming because they'll see it in the background. So I stupidly crossed the street, I think, because it's my first day, and I was frazzled, and you have to deal with, I'm, like, here on a corner with my headset, and I'm a PA, and I'm trying to, like, coordinate traffic so people don't cross the street when we're filming, and so I accidentally crossed the street, but that was okay. I got over that first day, and so it was definitely a learning experience, but I think my last day on set there, they let me come in my last day on set, and just pretty much the first scene I worked, and then the last scenes of the day when we got back to the studio, I got to pretty much just hang out on set and, like, talk with, like, the script supervisor and see what his job was, and that's how I kind of got interested in script supervising and not just PA work, which is production assistant, for those who don't know the film industry, PA means production assistant, which is pretty much, like, the bottom of the food chain when it comes to film work. So, yeah, I mean, I loved it, and it was really cool just hanging out on set for a day in One Tree Hill. It was really awesome. So that's kind of how it
started. And you said you like to write. I'm a writer myself. I actually took a screenwriting workshop with a former Hollywood producer that I came to my local college. So
mm-hmm.
I've written a script or two here and there, just kind of mm-hmm. off the top of my head, you know, just nothing really.
Right.
So writing's always been a passion of mine as well. Um, And I also wanted to talk about you were also a production assistant on the Young and Restless for about 3 or 4 episodes. What was that experience like?
Well, what's funny about that is it will say 3 or 4 episodes because what happens is they actually film multiple episodes on one day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like a, you know how soap operas film, it's
yeah.
the continuance of what happened the day before. So they
right.
all kind of blend together. So what they do on soap operas is everything goes super fast.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like the filming style on Young and the Restless versus One Tree Hill because on One Tree Hill, they can take like 30 takes of the same scene. And I'm like, come on, let's just get through this. And with Young and the Restless, literally, it's like 1 or 2 takes for each type of coverage. So they'll do a, you know, 1 or 2 takes for a close-up, the 1 or 2 takes for like a long shot or a medium shot or whatever kind of shot it is. And it goes super quick. Like, you're moving from location to location really quick. So if anybody remembers, I think it was a couple of years ago in 2010, Young and the Restless went to New Orleans because Sharon, like, left and had, like, some kind of, I don't know what she was going through. She's going through some kind of emotional thing. I didn't watch Young and the Restless back then, so I didn't really understand. I watched this stuff after because I didn't want to seem too fangirlish on set when I was working for Young and the Restless. So I watched the stuff after, you know, it happened because I'm like, who was this character? Sharon and Nick and whatever. I didn't watch the show. I only watched General Hospital. It was the only soap I watched.
Right.
So it was really cool working for them because the day went by like so fast. It was literally one day I worked on Young and the Restless, and I would have loved to work more for them. But when it comes to film, and they need like just an extra PA here or there, you're usually just hired sometimes for one day because
mm-hmm.
film productions don't like to hire long-term PAs for the whole production. They don't like to do a lot of that unless they really know them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky enough to be able to do it. I think I got referred by, it was like a database of PAs that they referred to, and I was on that database. So I was able to do it for one day. And I mean, I loved it. It was a great experience. And so it went by so fast, and it was amazing. And I think I got to, when it came to lunchtime, I got to eat lunch by the woman who plays Sharon, and I think I talked with her a little bit, and I was just sitting there,
impressive.
I'm like, I can't believe this. I'm like eating lunch next to these cast members from Y&R. This is crazy. And then I know a moment that everyone gets jealous of me is I got to talk to the guy who plays Nick.
Mm-hmm.
His name is escaping me at the moment.
me too. I can't think. Who is that guy?
I can't think of what his name was, but he's incredibly hot and gorgeous.
Anyway.
And anyway, I talked to him on the sidewalk, and it was a moment where he had to get up and do something. I got to walk with him, so I got to hold his hands and help him get up from the sidewalk. So I'm like, I held his hands. Oh, my God, everyone's going to be, like, freaking out that I held this guy's hands. And
oh,
I did, and he's very
funny.
Nice, and I got to talk to him briefly about how I was a big fan of this, of Jason Elizabeth Hunt. Agent, I think I mentioned it to him, and he knows how that stuff goes, because, you know, soap couples and how crazy certain
right.
couples. So, really cool guy. So, it was a really awesome day. I would love to work on a soap opera one day again, you know, as a guest PA for the day, because it was just awesome. I just love how fast the filming goes. It's just awesome. You never get bored.
Right. Now, speaking of soaps, I was talking to another radio host friend of mine. And they asked me, and they were like, if you could go to the daytime Emmys, who would you want to interview? And I'm like, if I went to the Emmys, I'd have to go there in a body bag because I would literally die. I would literally die.
I mean, that's a real experience for, I'm sure, anybody who is able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So are you asking me who I'd want to interview daytime Emmys if I got the chance?
Since the subject was brought up, yeah.
Okay, well.
Who would you want to interview if you had a chance face-to-face?
Definitely I guess the top five on my list would be Jen Lilly, who's now on Days, and I adore her. I mean, God, I just adore that woman.
Me and you both.
Yeah.
I adore Jen too.
And number two, yeah, we're huge Jen Lilly fans, aren't we?
Absolutely we are.
Yeah. Jen, we love you if you're listening to this. We love you.
Yes, we do.
Number two, Rebecca Herbst, obviously, because that woman is gorgeous. She does not have one. She's flawless. Like, I asked her what she did for skincare because I'm just like, you do not have a zit or a pimple or anything. Like, what do you do? You look perfect.
I know, seriously.
She's gorgeous. I mean, I love her. I met her a few times, and she's just a fabulous person, and I think she's also a Christian. Let's see. And then Steve Burton. I love Steve. I think Bradford Anderson. And, oh gosh, Sonia Eddy, because she's just hilarious. I had her on my show, and she's just hilarious. She's funny. I wish you got to see, like, a fun side of Epiphany on GH. That woman is hilarious. Yeah, and then I'd love to interview like Frank Valentini and Ron Colarati, like the writers and the executive producer. That would just be amazing.
And since I'm a writer, that would probably outside of the actors, that would probably be my number one person interview is Ron Colarati. I gotta see if he'll come on the show sometime.
Yeah.
Because
I'm sure they're very busy guys. That's really hard.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to just sit down and pick his brain for like 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
So, outside of the actors, that's mostly who I'd like to just sit down and talk to face to face. And you brought up something else that I wanted to touch on. You mentioned that you're obviously a Christian. How did that faith play into your work in the entertainment industry?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
How did you, let me see if I can phrase this right. How did that a Christian faith play into your work on the entertainment industry? Because you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're trying to say. Well, I worked in New Orleans mostly, aside from Winter Hill. It was a year or so in New Orleans, and that's also where a lot of films film because of the tax incentives that the state gives out, and that's why Louisiana has become, like, the number one place to film because of the tax incentives. Unfortunately, I really would have loved to work on some Christian films because I would get these – I would see the sides of the script for the day, and I would I would see, you know, them, you know, like, well, I don't even like to say it, but GD, like, you know, God, and then the D word in the script, and I would just be like, oh, why? I know it, like, I used to say it all the time myself, but I stopped myself now. I've learned to not say it. And I hate when I see it because it's just such a catchphrase that I guess is in scripts all the time and it's just like a normal swear word that people say and it's really saying the Lord's name in vain and that hurts me. But, you know, you just got to get through it and just be like, okay, God, I'm going to do a good job. I'm going to show my godliness, I guess, or my spirit, my Christian attitude towards people and like I think I have this one job, and the second AD or the assistant director was such a jerk. He was not a nice person. He seemed like he was always had a bad day when I was on set. So even if he was having a bad day, I would still be really nice to him, and I'd be like, do you need me to get you a coffee? Do you need some water? Like, like, is there anything I can do to hopefully not make him, like, have such a crappy day, you know?
Right.
I just try to show my Christian attitude on set and be nice to people and show up for work, you know, early and do what I needed to do and do the best job I could on set and just show a nice attitude to everybody because that's what people really want to see, you know, because nobody really likes to work with nasty people. So.
Right, seriously.
That's what I did.
Now, that's one of the reasons I respect you so much is because you're not afraid to put your faith out there on Twitter. You're not afraid to do it at all. So, like I said, that's one of the reasons I respect you so much.
I appreciate that. I mean, you'll always see me retweeting some Bible verses or just inspirational, spiritual, like, quotes from, like, Joyce Meyer and stuff like that. And I always retweet it. And, I mean, I have it on my timeline because I'm always on social media. And it's really one of the main ways I get God's word for the day is through social media because I'm on it all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, if I'm going to be on my iPhone, like, 24/7 when I'm never and I'm not sleeping, I'm on this phone, then I'm going to get the word in. So I always follow, like, Christian pages on Facebook and follow the people on Twitter who are putting out that good stuff because that's what I need for the day. And I think it really, truly, even if you're not a believer, I think it's just good advice that God puts out there in the Bible. Like, the book of Proverbs, I love the book of Proverbs because it's just, like, a book of good advice.
Right.
Great.
Now, I've been trying to get into that myself. I've been retweeting. I follow a former football player, Inky Johnson. I retweet him all the time. He has these inspirational sayings. You know, I try and retweet him all the time myself. I get what you're saying about the positivity stuff. I understand that completely. I'm trying to spread a little positivity myself, you know.
That's what we need more on Twitter, because there's just so much negativity in it. And I think it's very easy, I know, sometimes for me to get provoked, and, and then that negativity just automatically spreads like a freaking virus. So I really try to like, take Jen Lilly, for example, who says, choose love and grace. Like, I really try to take example from her and take her attitude and try to spread more positivity on social media and not all this negative stuff. And if people respond to you with hate, that you try to respond with love and not feel like you have to take revenge in your own hands. Because revenge is really up to the Lord. It's really shouldn't be our job to put that out there. It's really up to God to take care of that person and you know, God says, I think there's a Bible verse out there that vengeance is mine. So try to give it to God.
Yeah. I know we've only got about 5 or 6 minutes left, so I want to switch gears here and talk a little bit about Liaison Radio for a little bit.
Sure.
I know the story of how that got started, but has there ever been a guest where you just like completely and totally spaz out and forget what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I try to have questions like pre-planned when it comes to having guests on the show. And yes, you do, Mom. Sorry, I'm with my mom in the car. She's like, do I have my birds? I'm like, yes. I think I tend to do it. Actually, I tend to do it not on my interviews so much because I try to, like, be really prepared for with questions so I don't have those spaz out moments, but I tend to do it, like, on other people's shows where I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I called in. Now I don't know what to say. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of any time where I maybe have had that happen, but not really. I mean, it doesn't really come to mind, but it does happen with other people's shows.
But now, I'm like you. I try to be on air, all business on air. I'm professional on air, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when the guest confirms before the show, I'm pretty well freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
It's with any guest I get, I have a tiny little a freak out moment as soon as they confirm, and then after that, I'm all business, you know.
Right.
So, let's see if there's anything else I wanted to ask. I think that's probably it. So I'm gonna let you go, and thanks again for coming on and doing this. I know things are kind of hectic for you right now, so I'll be thinking about you. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Cody.
All right. Thanks again, Christy.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our shortened interview with Christy from Liaison Radio. Christy is an absolute sweetheart. And and somebody I'm extremely proud to call a friend. So I think with that, we're going to end the show here. And you've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.